Hi, everyone, and welcome to the Las Musas podcast. My name is Lauren Yero, and today I'm joined by authors Maria Jose Fitzgerald and Tamika Burgess. On this episode of Debut Diaries, the middle grade and YA edition, we'll be talking about lessons learned and reality versus expectations. So let's start with each of us introducing ourselves and telling a little bit about our books. Maria Jose, could you go first?
Sure. Thank you so much, Lauren. So my name is Maria Jose Fitzgerald. I am the author of Turtles of the Midnight Moon, which is a middle grade eco mystery that follows two girls, Barana and Abby, as they go on a quest to solve a sea turtle egg poaching mystery that's plaguing Barana's village in Honduras, which is where I grew up. And that's it.
Thank you. Tamika, could you introduce your book?
Sure. So I'm Tamika. My middle grade debut is Sincerely Sicily, loosely based on my story growing up. My parents were born in Panama, and me growing up here, I was constantly asked, "What are you?" So I gave all that drama to Sicily. And in the book, she gets questioned at school about being Black and having a Latina culture. That sets her down a self-discovery journey where she learns about her Black race and how it relates to her Latina culture. And it touches on the whole perception and the importance of understanding the difference between race and culture, in addition to all her sixth grade drama that she experiences, starting a new school, making new friends, having a crush, getting in a fight, and amongst a whole bunch of other stuff in the story.
Awesome. Thanks, Tamika. And my name is Lauren Yero, and I live in Western North Carolina. My debut young adult novel is called Under This Forgetful Sky, and it actually just came out this week with Simon & Schuster. It follows two teens named Paz and Rumi, who come from really different backgrounds, on a journey across the wilds of post-collapse Chile. So it is a speculative young adult novel. On paper, the two are enemies, but of course it turns out to be a whole lot more complicated than that. So let's just start our conversation by saying what we're reading right now. What are you reading right now, Tamika?
So right now I'm reading Hands by Tori Maldonado. I always try, and we're going to talk about this later, but for my second book, my character is going to be a boy. So I'm trying to read characters that feature main character boys, just to get that feel and, you know, understanding of how to write those kind of characters and writing for those readers. So yeah.
Cool. And Maria, what are you reading?
So currently on my nightstand is a novel that hasn't come out yet. It comes out in September. It's called Adia Kilbera and the Circle of Shamans, and it's by E.C. Hendricks, a very good friend of mine. It is amazing. I'm really loving it. So that is what I'm currently reading. And underneath it, I'm so excited to dive into Saints of the Household by Ari Tilson. I don't know if I'm saying her last name correctly, but it is a novel in verse. And Ari is Indigenous Costa Rican. And I'm so excited to read this novel in verse. It's like an epistolary novel. Like some of the chapters are in poetry form and others are in like short prose, and very excited to read it. So yeah, Adia Kilbera and the Circle of Shamans and Saints of the Household.
You just scooped me. I'm about to start reading Ari's Saints of the Household, and I'm also very excited about it.
Oh my God. I'm just like sitting right underneath Adia, and I'm loving Adia. And then I'm also thinking, oh, I can't wait to dive into the next one.
And so many people have said that it was one of their favorite debuts that they've read this year. So I'm just like, you know, can't wait to dive in. I'm actually going to start reading it tonight.
So, amazing. And do you know how we pronounce her last name?
I think it's Ari Tyson, but I'm not positive.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Fact check. We'll reveal that in the fact check part of the episode.
So our topic today is talking about our debut experiences and the lessons that we've learned from it. If you could sum up your debut year in one word, what would it be? And I actually have a word to kick us off for this question. I'm thinking for my word, it's going to be roller coaster, because there are some really, really exciting, exhilarating moments on the debut year. And then there are some things that feel a little bit out of your control, or, you know, unexpected. And so it's definitely like a lot of different emotions that come along with the experience. So yeah, that's kind of the word that I think best encapsulates my experience. What would you say, Tamika?
I would have to agree with you for sure. And I would also add a little scary at times for me with the roller coaster. So I'm on the roller coaster too, with my eyes squeezed shut, just because some of it is, you know, just the what's going to happen. Are people going to like this? Should I read what they're saying? Oh my gosh, I don't know what to do next. So that part for me was, you know, nerve-wracking and a little scary, but I definitely agree, the ups and downs and all the unexpected twists and turns of the roller coaster, for sure. That's a good one.
Yeah, that is a perfect word. And it's so because roller coasters are terrifying, but they're also super fun. And that's kind of like what it is to be a debut. It's terrifying, but also fun.
And you get off and you feel a little bit nauseous, but then you want to go on again.
Exactly. Yep. Because we all keep writing. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that is the perfect word. I was gonna say intense, because I feel like it's just been a very intense year, like in every sense of the word for me. Because life doesn't stop, right? You debut. Sure. And it's like everything in my life, and I know my best friends, they say the same thing. And like, I have family members who say the same thing, that when one intense thing is going on, like for some reason, a bunch of other stuff starts to happen, and it just all kind of happens at once. But yeah, I think roller coaster is perfect. And then I would just tack on intense. High highs, low lows.
Yeah. And I think that's the main thing. You need a word that encapsulates both, because it's both. Yeah, for sure. Yeah. I mean, the realities of the publishing industry are really challenging. And so what has been something challenging or surprising about the debut year for you guys? Maria, do you want to go first?
Yeah. I mean, so many things have been challenging, like keeping your head on straight, like not getting overwhelmed, trying to kind of stay the course as a creative person. I think staying creative and keeping the writer part of my life going while all this other stuff, as being an author, you know, going to events, promoting your book, being more active on social media. So like, I guess one challenging thing was separating those two and trying to kind of find the time and create the space to write and to keep writing, because that's really what I love to do. And, you know, and there were months where the challenge was saying, I can't right now, like, I'm going to let it go for like a few weeks or a month, and just be okay with that. Give myself that grace. You know, like my debut month, I didn't really work on my work in progress. Even the month before, I wasn't working on it too much, and just letting that be okay, and having to extend deadlines, let that be okay. But I guess that was probably the biggest challenge, was wishing I had the time to sort of continue to create and, you know, have that quiet writer's life when there were other things that I had to do, which, you know, we have to do. But that was challenging. Yeah.
Yeah. I completely agree with that. That kind of new, need to find a balance between that private space and this more public version of your writer self that, is probably new to a lot of debut authors. Like, I did not have much of an online existence at all. Like, I didn't have it wasn't something that appealed to me very much. And so learning about how to be more online publicly as a writer and to kind of find those communities, it's been exciting, but it's also been challenging, because yeah, there's that part of yourself as a writer that you know, you have to kind of keep to yourself in order to be able to create, at least for me. And so, yeah, figuring out that balance has definitely been a challenge. What do you think, Tamika?
Yeah, the same. I think balance has been a big issue. But one thing that was surprising to me was a lot of the time I felt lost, kind of like, well, what do I do now? The book is out. I've done all this prep work leading up to my debut date. And now what? And so it was kind of just like, one thing my editor told me was, she was like, start local, make those connections, reach out to your library. If you're going to do school visits, do that kind of stuff, you know, connect with your local bookstores, and then grow out from there. So I kind of just always kept that in mind. And then two, a challenge was, I'm somebody like, I don't like to bother people. So I would always hold back when I had questions, especially like, what should I be doing now type of thing with my editor and my agent? Because I'd always feel like, I don't want to bother them. I don't want to be a pest. You know, are there certain things I should know? So overcoming that and just getting to a point where I was like, this is my writing career. You know, if I have questions, I need to reach out. These are, you know, the people in my corner here championing me. So just getting past that mental thing that I have where it's like, no, I don't want to bug them. I know they're busy. They're probably, you know, on to their next person. My book is released, but just sending that email. So yes, amongst everything you guys mentioned too, just my own personal roadblocks too that I had to overcome.
That's really good advice. I really like that. So that kind of feeds into another question about, now that we're debut authors, how has our writing process and creative process changed? You know, what are some of the differences? How does it feel different writing before you knew that you were writing for public? Like, well, I mean, you're always kind of hoping you're writing for publication, but there's a difference kind of now that you've got your first book out. What are some of the differences you guys feel in your own process? Tamika, do you want to start?
Yeah, so obviously the time is different. Like for me, Sicily, 10 years. I started in 2013, and of course it was a hobby, right? And so it wasn't until the like eighth year in where I was like, hey, I have something, let me try, you know? So now my contract was two books. So before Sincerely Sicily was even released, I already had a deadline for book two for, you know, my rough draft. So I was already, my mind was already on the second book. So when people were like, oh, how exciting, you have a book, I was mentally, I was somewhere else with a whole new character thinking about other things. So figuring out that time frame of like, I really have to set time out to write. Whereas, like I said before, it was a hobby. I did it when I felt like it. Also with the creative process, I noticed I can't just sit at my computer anymore with the outline. Like before, I would do an outline, then I can just sit and type things out. Now I'll just get, you know, little spiral binders and I'll literally write out the chapters and then later go back and type them in. Like for some reason I just can't sit and do it that way anymore. So and then I always think like, this is so time consuming, but it's the only way it works for me as of recently. So I was able to do that. And that's how I was able to finish my second book draft, was just literally writing out the chapters by hand. So, and I don't know what triggered that or why that happened, but it's just, it seems to work, come a lot easier putting the actual pen to the paper. So that's been a big change, because I didn't do that with Sincerely Sicily.
That's amazing. That's such a huge difference.
Right.
I mean, I can think of all kinds of reasons why it might, why that change might be working, but yeah, that's really fascinating.
Yeah. I know you guys can't see me, listeners, but my jaw dropped when you said that. Like that, I can't write on paper. I've tried. Oh. It's so hard for me to do that. Like I can't write fast enough. So then I just write illegibly.
I do find that sometimes there's certain kinds of ideas or certain moments in the process where I do have to do that, because the computer is the home of all kinds of other commitments and distractions. And sometimes you just need to be away from it and mm-hmm. and kind mm-hmm. of taking that different kind of mental time and space. What do you think, Maria? What about this changes in your process?
I think the pressure was on right after, because I also got a two book deal like Tamika. So book two has been sort of weighing on my mind as my debut year went on, or as my debut year was looming, and as launch day came and went, book two was sort of always there, very important. And so the writing process for book two, it came with that deadline. And so like Tamika said, like it just, because it came with a deadline, it just naturally feels different. Because when you're writing that first novel or a second, third novel, but when you're writing the novel that you're debuting with, you know, maybe you don't have an agent yet, or maybe, you know, you're working with a mentor, or maybe, you know, it was 10 years ago and you were in your 30s or your 20s or however old you were. So things change, right? You're older. And for me, I think when I wrote Turtles of the Midnight Moon, it was this like love project, passion project. Not to say that book two isn't, it became that. Like I sort of found a way to really fall in love with these new characters and this new story. But with Turtles, you know, there was no pressure. It was sort of this, well, we'll see what happens. You know, maybe I'll finally, you know, I'll get an agent and it'll be great. And now there's that added pressure, which just, I don't know. I think it's just a mental thing where you just have to get through that mental block and set that expectation aside. And also, you know, forgiving myself for not having this perfect first draft, because when I queried my agent with Turtles, it was such a polished first draft. It was so polished. I'd gone through pitch wars. It had gone through multiple eyes, multiple revisions. And this is my first collaboration with my agent and my editor that, you know, isn't Turtles. That's like a whole new thing. So, you know, it doesn't have to be as perfect as my first manuscript that I queried with. It can be a little bit rougher. So also that piece of it where it's like, you know, it's not going to be as polished in the end. Just giving yourself grace, I guess. But as far as my creative process, not much has changed other than, I mean, I still do it on the computer. I don't write in a notebook. Maybe I feel like if anything, it's gotten a little bit easier to kind of write, right? Like to plot. Like I feel like I learned so much writing Turtles that I'm able to write a little bit faster now. Like I'm able to kind of outline, find those pinch points, find those, you know, main plot points in my story and create that arc for my characters and then just write. So I guess naturally, the more you write, the more books you write, I guess the easier it gets a little bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I think to add on to some of that, for me, like the experience of writing writing under this forgetful sky, which like Tamika, it took a long time, you know. Mm-hmm. I started working on it 10 years ago and then it went away and came back mm-hmm. out and all of that. But it was mostly just my voice in my head, and I had critique partners, but you know, it was I was the primary voice in my head. And now I have a lot of other voices, you know. I've got my agent's voice, I've got my editor's voice, I've got, you know, just sort of this general voice of like what's out there and what's you know, these kind of other inputs that weren't really there before, which I think, you know, they can, that can really make your writing stronger, but it could also be a little paralyzing if you're not careful. And so kind of just finding ways to have those voices help instead of being detractors in the writing process and making the writing process like slower and have, you know, not as much momentum. So if you'd be okay sharing, what is something that you're working on right now, Maria?
Yeah. So this story I was referring to, my book two, which I've been working on for about a year now, little less than a year. I actually just turned in my first draft last week.
Congratulations.
Oh, nice. Oh my God. I am so happy I was able to, you know, turn it in, and I feel good about it. It is, I can't say too much about it, but I will say it is another eco mystery with, you know, environmental theme, conservation theme. And it is similar to Turtles in that it is set in Honduras, but rather than being set on the coast, it's set more like inland, like more in the mountainous region, actually near the Sacred Valley in Copan. So there's a little bit of an archaeology plot as well. And my uncle was an archaeologist, and there's the environmental piece as well. I won't reveal, you know, much about what that environmental piece is, because I want to keep it a little bit under wraps for a bit. But it is an eco mystery, and it's also similar to Turtles in that it's told in multiple points of view. So I really like dual POV. For some reason, I just love that. But this story has currently three solid POVs: ABC, ABC, and then a surprise fourth POV, sprinkled. So it follows four sleuthing cousins. So I was really close to my cousins growing up. And so it's sort of 1999 holidays, and these cousins come together to solve another eco mystery.
Intriguing.
Stay tuned.
Thank you for sharing. Tamika, do you want to say anything about what you're working on?
Yeah. So my book two, I actually turned in April, and I'm supposed to get my feedback tomorrow. So we'll see. but it is a historical fiction set in 1990. It takes place in Panama when the U.S. military invaded the country to get Manuel Noriega out of there. So it's from the perspective of a kid growing up in that neighborhood that they invade. And in the story, he has an opportunity to come to the U.S. And so he has kind of like a little bit of internal struggle about, you know, I just watched the U.S. demolish my neighborhood and my country. And now people keep telling me, oh, it's such a good opportunity, you should go, amongst a whole bunch of other stuff that happened in the story. So I'm waiting to see, you know, what kind of feedback I get from my editor about this. But I know for sure it'll be historical fiction, and that'll be the historical element that takes place. And then also, just, you know, as I've been waiting to hear back from my publisher, I've been trying my hand at a picture book. So, and that's been really hard, because I've been told you get like 5 to 1,000 words, and even 1,000 words is pushing it. So just trying to figure out, what do I need to put in words? What will I leave to the illustrator? So yeah, just doing those two things. The picture book, I don't know. I don't know if it'll ever go anywhere, but it's always been a dream of mine just to have something with like beautiful illustrations, and tell a cute little story with it. And so originally, Sincerely Sicily, that I started it as a picture book, because again, I wanted to, you know, have pictures of her, but again, way too much to say. I couldn't fit it in that word limit. So that's how we moved on to middle grade with it. So that's like a little dream that always sits with me, like someday just to have a picture book. So I feel like that's something I'll always be working on in the background to working on other stuff.
Very cool. Yeah. And I don't have a book two. I don't have a second book deal. So I'm kind of I have more of an open-ended set of projects that I've got a kind of a list of things I'm going to be talking to my agent about. And one of them is more in the adult speculative space, and one of them is in the YA space. Mm-hmm. But it's interesting to be in that place where I kind of have that freedom of choice, because so many people in this position are on a deadline, or they've got, you know, some kind of book two that they've got already, you know, a proposal figured out. And so I've also have a really young child. And so I'm trying to figure out how it all fits together, you know, how to find the time for something that's not on a deadline and make that a commitment still, at the same time as everything else that's going on.
Sometimes having a deadline helps because it forces you to kind of work a little bit each day, like, you know, an hour a day, like half an hour, whatever you can, you know, do. But yeah, how old is your child?
So I have a 4.5-year-old, but I also have a 1-year-old. It's pretty full on. And so, yeah, trying to make that, I think it takes some discipline to make the creative part a priority also, you know, especially if there's not a book deal already. And so just trying to figure out ways to keep that momentum moving forward. Yeah. Let's switch gears just a little bit and talk about reviews. Do you guys read them? And if you do, why? And do you avoid them? And if so, why? What do you think, Tamika?
In the beginning, I was like when the ARCs went out, the advanced reader copies, just out of curiosity to see. And then it was just cool to like, whoa, I have reviews on Goodreads. So I was on there a lot in the beginning. And then like, I haven't received anything too bad. Like I think I popped in maybe sometime last week and I looked at Goodreads. The Amazon ones, yes, because I'm always on Amazon, so it's easy just to pop in there and read them. And I have to say they haven't been like earth shattering, nothing too bad, you know, where I'm like devastated. But I don't make it a practice just because, you know, people are going to read it and have their own interpretation of it. And, you know, just, you know, let the book sit with them how it sits with them. So yeah, I wouldn't say I avoid, but I'm not like actively in there every day. But in the beginning though, I was like, ooh, let me see it before I say, you know. Now it's just kind of like, okay, you know, they're gonna feel how they feel.
I'm kind of have the exact same arc. Like up until my book came out this past week, I was looking a lot, and you know, because there were early reviewers, people who were usually saying some thoughtful things or and so I was interested to know what the feedback was. And I definitely read the, you know, the trade reviews, but now that the book is out and it's just sort of like anyone could read it and write a review that was as unfiltered as they want, you know, I'm a little bit more hesitant. I'm not as excited about jumping in and seeing. I'm a little bit more like, once you read someone's feedback about your work that's negative, that kind of gets in your head. It can. And so I've been trying to sort of have a less close relationship with Goodreads and Amazon. And there's a couple of people in my life who have offered to just kind of check it periodically and let me know if there's a really good review, but I just kind of don't want that to be very much in the foreground of my experience. What about you, Maria?
So yeah, I mean, I feel like we have identical answers. Like I was saying the exact same thing. Like when Turtles first came out, I was on there, I was sort of seeing those early ARC reviews. Definitely the trade reviews. My editor sent those to me. So yeah. I definitely read those. And then, you know, every now and then, like somebody will post something on social media. Usually those are positive, right? When somebody like shares their thoughts on your book. But now I don't, because I did read one review that had, it wasn't even a negative review, you guys, like it was a very good review, but it had like one, they said they didn't like one thing about the book, and it's something about the book that I like, it was a non-negotiable for me, which was the magical totems, like the sort of the magical elements in the book. And it just sort of stuck with me, like, why didn't she like that? Mm-hmm. And then I just kept thinking about it. And I thought about it for far too long. Like mm-hmm. It took too much time and space in my head after I read that. And so since then I was like, you know what? I've read enough. Like, I'm just gonna let it be. And so, and I'm hardly on Goodreads anyway. Like, I don't really keep up with it. I kept up with it for like a month at some point in my life, but now I don't really keep up with it. So same exact answer. Yes, at the beginning. No, not anymore. I don't even like look.
Yeah, it's really hard to get some of those words. And that's the funny thing is it's not even the very negative, like it's not even very negative stuff. It's just a little thing that's a little bit twinged with something critical and it's just in there, you know, and it's not something that you're necessarily, like you said, it's not something that you would have changed. You know, it's not going to change your writing. You had a very strong vision about that particular piece, but you still have that in your brain. And so not really doing anything productive. Yeah.
And it's funny because talking about it now, it doesn't bother me at all. Like talking about it now, I'm like, that was so funny. Like how I really agonized for like a week. I was sort of agonizing like about this review. And, you know, so it does go away. So if you do read a negative review, eventually it goes away. But yeah, it does stick with you.
Mm-hmm. So during debut year, there's lots of different opportunities and lots of different things that you can decide to do or not to do. What are you saying yes to this year? And what are you saying no to and why? Maria Jose, would you start?
Sure. I think I say yes too much. Because I feel like my policy this year, because it is my debut year and nobody knows who I am. And like, you know, if you don't put in the work, no one's gonna know that your book is out there. Yes, the marketing team is doing their job too. But I know that there have been peaks in my sales when I've gone to things, when I've gone to events, when I've gone to speak to people, when I've gone to a bookstore or a library. And so, because with Penguin Random House, we have access to the data for our sales. And so I can see the peaks and the valleys and like kind of where, how it's like a graph. And so I really have been trying to say yes to things I'm invited to, as taxing as those events are, right? Because you're having to be on, you're having to be, you know, putting on a smile. And I'm pretty extroverted. Like, I feel like I'm an extrovert, but I do need my like introvert time to regroup and re-energize. But being with people does bring me a lot of joy. So that said, you know, as taxing as events are, I have been saying yes to them. If I'm invited to something and I can do it, on my calendar, there's a free space for that. Like it's not, you know, my kid's birthday or I don't have a school related event to go to, like if it's open, I will say yes just for this year, because I know that that exposure, I get better at talking to people about my book. It helps me get more comfortable, you know, sharing. I get to meet amazing people and just connect with other writers, with readers, with librarians. So I'm saying yes to a lot of events that I get invited to, and I haven't been invited to a lot, but like the events I get invited to, I say yes to. What am I saying no to? Gosh, that's hard. I don't say no a lot. I guess maybe you come back to me on that one. I'm prepared. I think, I guess I'm saying no to like in my personal life, like maybe staying up late for that extra TV show, or, you know, just, I guess I've become a little bit more disciplined and like, I don't know, just my day-to-day life, just saying no to smaller things that maybe I need to regroup. I need to write, I need to revise, I need to do something work related. It's hard, but you know, some social things, maybe I've been saying no to a little bit more, not too much, 'cause then I feel bad. So, I'm trying. I guess what I'm saying in a terribly poor way is that I'm trying to say no more to things that maybe take up time that isn't going to benefit me, you know, as a writer, as a mom, partner.
Tamika, what would you say? Do you have things you're saying no to, or are you mostly saying yes?
I think I'm mostly saying yes, but specifically, like, to piggyback when it comes to the events, that was one thing I really went into the year thinking, I want to do events, I want to do school visits. So, and I love it, like that interaction with the readers, or like going to schools, and just even if the kids haven't read my book yet, just the excitement of it, that really puts in perspective for me, like, why I do, why I spend so much time staring at a blank sheet on my on my computer. But in that, in saying yes to all of those events, I'm learning what types of events to say no to. I have an author friend who's been doing this for years, and, you know, just she told me to watch out for, like, how you're treated. Not like, you know, we're authors, we're these big time celebrities, and they need to be rolling out a red carpet for us, but just because she told me a lot of times people think, like, oh, you're right, you do it whenever, and they're not respectful of your time. So she was like, you know, if they're organized and they have certain things laid out for you, you can tell those are the people who are respectful of your craft and your time. And so in her saying that, I really didn't get it till I started to go to certain events, and I'm seeing the difference in the way the event is organized, how they're treating me, where, you know, maybe it's a table display of my books where I'm placed, certain things like that, and just knowing, okay, is this benefiting me? Is this a waste of my time? Am I able to speak to people at this event? Is this, you know, is this worthwhile for me in the end, and getting exposure for myself and my book? So I think through the yeses of saying events, I'm learning what to say no to in the process, if that makes sense.
Yeah, that makes a lot of sense. That's really helpful. Yeah, I think like you guys, I'm saying yes to a lot. Just, you know, just because you never know what one thing will lead to, but also, like what you were saying, Maria Jose, that you get better every time. You get more practice with how you are answering questions, and just like the eloquence of your answers, but also your confidence every time is, I have found, I've only done a couple of events so far, but I've found that each time it gets a little bit easier and a little bit more fun, and that I'm able to kind of have more interaction with the people that are there for the event, because I feel more comfortable, and I'm realizing that it's good for a lot of reasons to say yes to a lot of different kinds of events. And the only things I've really said no to so far, like, I've said yes to festivals and bookstore events and library events, especially ones where I'm with another author. I think those are really wonderful, because you're not only meeting the bookstore or the librarian, but you're also getting to know another author in your community or in a nearby community. And the only things I've said no to so far are really because I have little kids, like having to go to travel somewhere overnight where I don't really have a community. I've been invited to some bookstores that are out of state, and I don't know a lot of people there. And so I feel like, for my sake and my time, but also for the sake of the bookstore, like, I don't know that I could really bring a huge number of people out of town yet. And so that's sort of like just respecting everyone's time and understanding, like, some things are just not able to be, you know, worth everyone's time in that moment. So that's really all I've said no to so far. I'm definitely doing a lot of yes.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think that's probably, like, good, right? Because ultimately we want to reach readers. We want kids to be reading our books. For me, like, I want my publisher to feel like their investment was worth it too. Like, so I want them to see that the book is selling. Mm-hmm. It was a team effort, right? Like, we produced this book together. And so I think saying yes this year is a good policy.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the more people you meet in the, like, literary community, the more people that know who you are and know, like, I think it's just a way of kind of coming into our own as authors and, mm-hmm. and, you know, doing events with other authors and Then eventually when we're no longer debuts, other authors wanting to do events with us, and it just kind of like all builds. So
very well. Okay. Said.
So the topic of this episode is reality versus expectation. So what was one thing that you expected to happen this year that maybe didn't turn out quite the way you thought, either for better or for worse? let's see. Tamika, would you get us started with this one?
Yeah, I think I expected a lot of hand-holding. Like my agent, like when I signed with my agent, she was really hands-on with me. I would always tell people she's right there holding my hand. And then same with my editor. They were both really great. And that's not to say like they're doing bad now, but like really hands-on in the beginning. And I think I just went into it thinking, okay, they're always going to be like right there holding my hand. So, and I kind of alluded to this earlier when I was saying I felt kind of lost because, you know, they have to move on and work with other people, but they're always just, you know, an email or a call away. But I think when that sort of attention kind of left and I wasn't getting, you know, every step of the way wasn't getting explained to me, it was kind of just like, oh, I'm out here on my own. And like, I didn't expect this. And then I was really anxious about things like, well, what should I be doing? What am I doing now? Like even up to a few weeks ago, I had a call with my editor and I was like, so are you guys kind of done now? Cause I'm 6 months out from my release. So I'm like, are you guys kind of done now? Like, is this really all on me at this point? And she was like, yeah, pretty much. Like, you know, we'll still continue to do our little bits here and there. But as far as that debut push, we're kind of done with that. So whatever decisions you're making now, you know, that's solely on you. And so, you know, that was, I figured that. But in the beginning, like I was saying, it was a lot of, wait, where are you? How come no one's explaining this? How come no one's telling me what to do? But thankfully, I've been able to rely on author friends to reach out to. And, you know, they've been very helpful in terms of what I should do and any ideas that I come up with, or reaching out to authors who, like I said, I've been doing school visits. So reaching out to authors who are heavy in school visits for advice on things has been really helpful. But yeah, I would say for sure that expectation of thinking like someone's going to be right there every step of the way. And then it's kind of just like, boom, you got it, you do it. So yeah, that was a big one for me.
Yeah, mine's very similar. I think that the realization that a lot of book publicity and promotion is like the author is in charge of doing a lot of that. And I don't think I realized that. Yeah, having such intense involvement at the querying stage with my agent and having such, you know, communication with my editor during the editorial phase of revisions. And then, yeah, like a lot of the stuff after in the lead up and after pub date is, there's a lot that the author is doing themselves and connecting with other authors and doing making those kind of networking connections themselves. But it's a lot of it is on us. And I think that was surprising to me. And so I think that's why groups like Las Musas and other kind of author groups, especially that focus on debut authors, it's just been so valuable in my experience because there's such a wealth of knowledge there for people that are even just a little bit ahead of you in the process that they know so much more than you. And so just and the willingness to share and the sort of generosity of like sharing resources and sharing expertise and sharing experience, like that has been such a huge, hugely helpful thing in this year for me. Yeah. What about you, Maria Jose?
So I tend to I'll say catastrophize a little bit. So like, I think that my expectation was that it was just, my launch was going to be catastrophic. It was just going to be my family and nobody else, like parents, siblings, that's it. And that no one's going to show up to my launch, that like, you know, I don't know. I just catastrophize a little bit. And so I guess it was a pleasant surprise when like the launch went really well. Friends showed up and people, even a few people I didn't really know showed up, old friends showed up. So that was really kind of a nice thing. That launch, I was very anxious about it. I think launch day, we put so much weight on it, right? Like, it's such a big deal. Our book is going to be out in the world. Like, we put all this pressure for launch day. And, you know, I tried to do my breathing exercises and not put pressure on it. I tried to be like, it's okay. It was just like five people, you know, it was just my parents and my husband and my kids, you know, that's fine. And I had sent the email out, you know, like to all my contacts in Google. I had sent this really lovely invitation, please join us. It was on social media. So of course I was like, did anybody receive it? Right. Did it even like send? But yeah, that was really nice. I think it's a high pressure day, but then what we're talking about is what comes after, right? Like debut year, like what comes after that and all of the expectations after that. I think, yeah, similar to you guys, we're, you know, any publicity thing that I was, that my publicist reached out to me about, like, can you do this? Are you able to do that? At first, like I said, I say yes to everything, but it is on us. Like, we're the ones that have to write out the interview questions for that blog, or we're the ones that have to, you know, get on that call with that interviewer. So it's a lot of like time and work, right? Even though they might be the ones reaching out to these, you know, media resources for us, it's a lot. I remember being very tired by the end of March. I was exhausted. You know, I had done the week junior. I had done this. I had done that. And it was like, I couldn't even keep up with it. I thought I was going to miss a deadline or something. Mm-hmm. So it is a lot on us. And then once the book is out, that push kind of fizzles a little bit. And, you know, the emails come less frequently, you know, from our publicists, which is normal. But then it's like, okay, now, you know, we're creating opportunities. And so with Musas, you know, we get together, we try to come up with ways to support one another. I just had a loss in my family too recently. And Las Musas sent me like a gorgeous bouquet and this like amazing box with soups and like cookies for my family. It was just, it's such an amazing group of women and writers that I'm really grateful for. But yeah.
Thanks for sharing that. So just to kind of close out, if you were able to give your pre-debut self a piece of advice, what would you say? Let's see, Maria, would you go first this time?
Sure, I'll go first. I mean, we've talked so much about, you know, the roller coaster that this is, how intense it is, and, you know, that sometimes our expectations are met, sometimes they're not. It's a lot of high highs, low lows. I guess I would tell myself to just really search for like community, like, and just find, well, and I've done it, but like, just to remind myself, like, you're not alone. Like, you've got people who've got your back. And, you know, I've had the great privilege of being a part of this community of Las Musas. We also have, and Tamika knows, we have our MG Discord group that, you know, we are supporting each other all the time. So just to keep doing that, because it is a roller coaster and it is full of high highs and low lows. And so just find your people and, you know, support each other and yeah. And keep writing, like, keep writing, like, find that writing spark and just keep writing, because that is, you know, that is what really fills my cup and the community and the writing.
Mm-hmm. What about you, Tamika? What would you say to yourself before your pre-debut self?
So I'm somebody who I like to be in control of my own stuff, right? So when I have to like wait for somebody to get back to me or let people have input on something I don't want them to have input on, it's hard for me. So I would have told myself there's a lot of that coming up. So get ready to just release it. And I'll tell you guys a quick story with my book cover. So not that I hate it or anything, but when I got the sketches, I was like, what is this? This is not what I said. what are these colors? Who, like, what are we doing here? So, and like I said, it's not because I don't like it. It's, I sat with Cicely for so long. Like I said, I had that story for 10 years. So I had envisioned everything. I knew what I wanted my cover to be and the colors and all that stuff. So when we were working through it, I was like, no, well, let's try this. Well, no, take that out. Let's try this. And, you know, and so at one point my agent stepped in and was like, you need to just pick one thing on the cover that you really want to be your way, and then kind of just let the publisher do the rest. So I focused on making sure Cicely looked how I wanted her to look. But, you know, had it been my way, like, you know, the main color is orange. That's not my favorite color, you know, but so like little things like that. And then too, in terms of like revisions, there weren't heavy revisions for Cicely. Like the main concept that I started out with stayed. But certain things I was just like, I'm not fighting on this. You know, we can either take it out or I can change it how my editor's recommending. So just, you know, and I'll probably say that's probably been one of my biggest lessons throughout this process going through my first book, is just knowing when to really hold on to something that I really want and letting the rest kind of, okay, you know, the publisher, they've been doing this for years. Let me just let them do what they're saying or take their recommendation and go with it. Kind of just letting go of that control. So I probably would have warned myself, like, get ready. You can't be in control of every little aspect of this book.
Totally. Yeah. There's definitely things that we are in the driver's seat on. And then there's so much that we're not. And yeah, being able to be okay with it being a kind of a team sport.
Yeah.
when for so long it's like not a team, it's just
right.
You.
Yeah, exactly,
for sure. Yeah, I think kind of just going all the way back to the conversation starter about this being a roller coaster is just kind of telling myself, like, remember, this is your dream, you know, being published, having a book, that's your dream. And, you know, remember in the moment, like, that you did that, you know, and that to really celebrate those highs, because just like with the reviews, you know, the lows can somehow, even if they're not really, really deep lows, they can somehow outweigh the high highs. And so to just kind of give some time to really celebrate the things that are going well, and the fact that, like, you're published, like, that's amazing. You know, that's, you know, a dream come true for so many of us, you know, like a lifelong dream.
That's like the perfect advice. I feel like that. Yes. Because we get mm-hmm. so caught up in the deadlines, or, you know, the worries that we're not going to be able to write the next book, like mm-hmm. that anxiety, but to celebrate, like you said, Lauren, like this moment, like we did it. We achieved this dream.
Yeah.
And then the other piece of advice would be to, like, already have written the next thing. You know, don't have to get, you know, just like take more time, because publishing, now that I can see in retrospect, it's a very long process. And so, you know, getting started as soon as possible is pretty good advice. And so those are the two things I would probably tell myself.
Yeah, very good advice.
Yeah.
Well, thank you both for this amazing conversation. If you'd like to learn more about Las Musas or our books, please visit our website at lasmusasbooks.com or find us on social media at Las Musas Books. And be sure to check out our bookshop page, where each purchase of one of our books goes towards supporting independent bookstores. If you enjoyed this episode, please like, review, and subscribe wherever you listen to your podcasts. You can also sign up for the Las Musas newsletter to have podcast updates, as well as other Musa news, such as release dates, teasers, spotlights, and more, delivered straight to your inbox. Thanks for listening.